6. Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to read verses 18 through 24. I'm reading out of the New American Standard. Paul writes, "With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert, with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that you also may know about my circumstances, how I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister, and the Lord will make everything known to you. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, so that you may know about us and that he may comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an incorruptible love." Father God, I pray that you just bless the reading of your word. And dear God, I pray that you help us today as we look into your word. I pray, dear God, that you'll draw to our minds all those ways that you have been faithful to us. And I pray, dear God, that you'll strengthen us and encourage us to continue to live as Paul encouraged those in Ephesus to live. Dear God, just be with us today. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, the last couple of weeks here in chapter 6, 2 weeks ago, we talked about battle plans. We have to be ready for those things that come before us. And last week, we got a little bit more specific, and we looked at the armor of God. You remember that? The breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the feet of the gospel, and things of that nature. Talked about the things we wear, how we must live, and how we must be ready. But you see, out of all those things God gives us to strengthen us and help us to live the life that God's called us to live, the helmet, the breastplate, the belt, there is the supernatural provision of the Christian soldier that we need to consider today. And that is prayer. A constant spirit of prayer. The soldier enters conflict on a daily basis. We've talked about that the last couple of weeks. And the conflict that we face, we need to make sure we're fully dressed and we're fully armed. But you see, there's one other thing that is very essential. That is to have great confidence and to have an assurance and have the courage of knowing that God is with you and he's holding you up. And so, such only comes through a state of prayer. There's a couple of things I want us to look at here today. And today is going to be a prayer service. And we're going to talk about aspects of prayer, and then we're going to spend some time in prayer. So the first thing I want us to look at as we walk through this passage is the frequency of prayer. The frequency of prayer. In the first, in verses 18 and there are four alls listed. Four alls. And the first one is to always pray. Verse 18 in New American Standard says, "With all prayer and petition." Talking about all, everything. In the King James, it says, "Praying always." I like the way he puts that. Praying always. You see, the soldier is not always praying is not always assured without praying that God is there, God's protection. We must seek the Lord. And we must always be praying to the Lord. The soldier must always pray and maintain a constant, unbroken relationship, consciousness, if you will, of God's presence and God's caring. Look, as Christian soldiers, we need to always remember and be in that constant state of prayer, constant state of knowing that God is with us and God is in this moment with us. We're not just in it by ourselves, but He's there. Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8, Jesus says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened." Our Lord Jesus reminds us that we need to always be seeking Him. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul says, pray without ceasing. You know, how do you do that? How do you pray without ceasing? It's that consciousness and that awareness that God is with us. That's why he says in Colossians 4:2, devote yourself to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. And in Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. I'm really concerned about our church. I'm concerned about our community. I'm concerned about our country. I'm concerned about the world we lived in. But I'm concerned about our church. We need to make sure that we are a praying church, that we are a church who are standing on God's Word. This morning, I'm going to call Lori and Ken, if you'll come up here. And I'm going to ask them to pray for God to strengthen our church and to give us His wisdom and a desire to do His will. We must have a desire to do God's will, right? So, Lori and Ken, y'all come up. They're going to read a passage of Scripture for us this morning, and they're going to pray that we will have a desire to be faithful to our Lord.
Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
If we can pray. God, we just thank you for the strength you've given each and every one of us. We just ask you now to strengthen our church. Help us to keep focused on you in all that we do, dear Lord. We ask that you just send your wisdom down to us. It doesn't have to be the wisdom of Solomon as he received, but if you'd send us your wisdom so that we have the desire to seek your word and seek your truth, that we would just be one with you in all that we do. In your most heavenly name we pray.
The next thing I want us to see is the variety of prayer. The variety of prayer. In the New American Standard, verse 18, it says, with all prayers and petitions. Now, the word prayer there is talking about a general prayer. And we do that a lot, don't we? On Wednesday nights, we go through a prayer sheet, and we have people's names on the prayer sheet, and then we try to put a little comment, something specific about them, and we give updates, and that is so that you can carry that prayer sheet at home. You're aware of the need, and you lift them up in prayer. But a lot of times when after we go through the prayer sheet and we update it and give the updates and talk about, you know, the needs and things of that nature, then a lot of times we'll have a prayer, but it's more of a general prayer. Dear God, everyone on this prayer sheet, may you be with them in whatever the need. And so there are both general prayers, and then there are very specific prayers. And so at the first of that, verse 18, with all, the always, or praying with always, focuses on the frequency. But when it says all prayers and supplications, that's kind of focusing on this variety of prayers, the different types of prayers. In Romans 12:12, it says, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. In other words, in those times of rejoicing, we need to continue to pray to God and thank Him for the good things. But in those times of tribulation that we're going through, we need to continue to lift those times up also. A Sunday school class that's just started the study of the book of Job this morning. And it's going to be a great study. And if you're not in Sunday school, I invite you to come and join us. But, you know the story of Job, how he had such a difficult life, and Satan enters in, and God says, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And describes Job as an upright man, a righteous man, and a blameless man, a man devoted to God. And even though we know the story of Job, how tribulation comes in life, we know how it ends, with God's great blessing. So we need to pray for both of these things. We need to pray generally, and we need to pray specifically for certain things. We need to ask God for certain things. And so there is a general way of prayer, and there's a specific way of prayer. So when you're reading that there in the passage, when it says, what does it mean when it says all prayer and the supplication? It just simply means all kinds of prayers, okay? Just simply saying there's different ways to pray. Now, some people think the only way they can pray is on their hands and knees. I've served at several churches, and at these couple of the large churches, we had prayer ministries. You know of prayer ministries, and they're a great ministry. And what you do in a prayer ministry, they usually have a room, a prayer room, and they have cards, and they got all these needs, and people will come in and spend a time, and they're just picking up cards, reading them, and they're praying over them, and they're writing them a note of encouragement, and those are good. But I had one lady at one of the church. She thought, "Hey, you need to be involved in the prayer ministry. You need to be involved in prayer." And I'm like, "Well, I'm pretty involved in prayer." Well, she thought you could only praise if you went in there and bowed your head and closed your eyes and did your hands like this. Can you truly pray? One of the first lessons I learned about prayer was when I was a young man, went to seminary, and the very first semester, and I really can't remember the situation or what we were doing, but I do remember this event. It was me and two other seminary students. One of them may have been a professor, but we were going somewhere, and we were going there to witness. It was a visitation, but we were going to witness to this person, whoever we were going to or being sent to. And so we were on the road, and we're driving to their house. We're getting closer, and one of them says, "Okay, let's pray. Let's pray before we get there." And I was really glad when the guy driving the car said, "Okay, but I'm going to keep my eyes open." So that's good. We can pray and we can drive at the same time. And me and the other person, we closed our eyes and we bowed our head. We don't have to, but we did, and we prayed for that specific situation, that God would guide it. So we need to be people who pray, pray for those situations. But it's not just when you're bowing your head and closing your eyes and doing your hands like this. I've had times in my life, though, where I felt the Holy Spirit just, I can't really explain it, but I felt a need to get up, get out of bed, get on my knees, and get in that posture and pray. I've had those. But that isn't the only time we pray. We need to live in a time of prayer. We need to live with the consciousness of who God is. One of the writers, the commentators, talked about prayer for the Christian, for us who are battling the spiritual things of this world. Prayer is like our breathing. It's that important. We must have prayer as much as our physical body has to have breath, must have air to breathe. And without it, you can't function. We must always have a focus on prayer and the importance of it. You know, many people have all these different ideas about what prayer should be. But the truth is, it's a conversation with God. That's what it is. In whatever shape or form you have, it's a conversation with God. And so we just need to remember there's many, many different ways to pray. There's a variety of ways to pray. And then there's the manner of prayer we see in this passage. It says, pray at all times in the Spirit. At all times in the Spirit. When it's talking about in the Spirit, it's talking about in the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's talking about being in the Holy Spirit, being in communion with God. The focus is on submission to who God is, not just simply focusing on our request. We need to pray in the Spirit. We need to be submissive to the Lord as we align our will with God's will. You know, when we pray, we're not informing God of anything. God knows it all. When we pray, it brings us into communion with Him and helps us in a conversation with Him, understanding what is happening around us. It helps us to focus on how God wants to handle these situations and how He wants to use us during this time. In Romans 8, 26 and 27, it says, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we do not know how to pray as we should. Have you ever felt that way? Man, I can testify to this verse. There's so many times, dear God, I know I need to pray to You, and I'm seeking You, and dear God, just in this situation, I really don't know how to pray, but I just keep going toward God, and the Holy Spirit intercedes. God uses our prayer time to teach us. God uses our prayer time to unite us with His will. It says, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And I am so thankful God has sent His Spirit to intercede for me when I don't understand what I should even be praying for. You know those times. You've probably been in some of those times. When my mother got sick with pancreatic cancer, my first prayers were, dear God, heal her. A miraculous healing, and You'll be glorified. But then when it came to the point where I realized He wasn't going to do that, that wasn't His will, that wasn't His purpose for her at that time, then I finally understood that. And my prayers changed to unite more with His will. And my prayers became, dear Father, take her, end her suffering. Take her home to be with You. Can't imagine what someone who deals with losing a loved one, who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, who can't lift up their prayers and have God use your own prayers to guide you toward His will. We need to remember, we need to always pray in this manner. Pray in the Spirit and pray at all times. And then look what he says here. He says, being watchful, focusing on the matter. We need to do it watching. Being understanding of what is happening. See, prayer is to be alert. I love this. Prayer is to be alert of the conditions around you. True prayer, to do it the way God wants, to have the Holy Spirit intercede for you, means it just helps us understand what is happening. Jesus tells us to watch and pray. In Matthew 26, 41, it says, keeping watch and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Boy, I understand that, don't you? And so I pray to God, keep me from this temptation. May You build a hedge of protection around me. In Mark 13, 33, it says, take heed, keep on alert, for you do not know when the appointed time will come. In 1 Peter 4, 7, it says, watch unto prayer. You can't pray properly unless you see what is going on around you. When you come to the place where your heart is filled with prayers, it'll be because you see that there are so many things that are going on. You see the need that is around you, the things happening in your life to the people who you come in contact with. We need to spend our time in prayer for other people, looking out and watching, see what is happening in their life, seeing what their need is. And do you know one of the things that threaten this? One of the things that threatens it and kills our prayers is selfishness. Most of us never really get serious about prayer until something happens in our own life. When we watch around us and we're aware of what is happening and we start focusing our prayers on others. Look, we should pray for ourselves. But we should be alert and looking at others and knowing how to pray for them. God uses those type of prayers to make us aware of what's going on and helps us to intercede, helps us to witness, helps us to expose them to the gospel of our Lord Jesus. So we need to pray. We need to be watchful. And it says, with all perseverance. We need to be persistent in this. In Luke 11:9, it says, so I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. It's a persistence. You're continually going for the Lord in persistence. Not being persistent, dear God, this is what I want. But being persistent to God, I want to be in your will. I want to understand this. I want you to use me. I want to be usable. In Luke 18:7, it says, now will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? We are to always seek our Lord. And so I want this morning, I want to call Stephanie and Marty, if you will, if you'll come, and pray for God to protect our church from division from within and from contamination from the world. We need to be a true church. We don't need to be divided. We need to be united behind our God, behind his purpose for this church. We don't want to look like the world. We want to look like the church of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Let's bow our heads. Lord, I just come to you right now with a heavy heart. Lord, there's just so much evil and distinction going on in the world, Lord. It's just so easy to have the world pit one another against each other, Lord. And just the devil is working so hard right now for us to have division against each other, Lord. And I just pray that you protect us. You protect us as a church and each of our members, that we don't have distinction among ourselves when we walk in these walls. Protect the church, protect every entrance of it, protect every person that comes in and out of the doors of it, that we don't bring that distinction and contamination that the evil around us is filling everybody with. Protect the church that we can keep it out, Lord. And we understand that people have different opinions and different mindsets, but Lord, just let us, when we walk into this church that you have set before us, that we keep that out and that we can remember that we love each other and we come to each other with loving and understanding, Lord. Just keep distinction and keep contamination from the walls, but also keep it out of us so that when we walk out of this church, we can be the church out in this world that doesn't cause the distinction and the contamination as well. There's so much evil that can defile us, Lord, and we just pray for your protection around our hearts, our mind, our ears, but most of all, the walls of this church and the people that belong to you, Lord. We just thank you, and we know that when we ask these things in your name, you will be faithful to us. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. I'm going to read Psalms 86:8-13. Among the gods, there are none like you. Lord, no deeds can compare with yours. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, Lord. They will bring glory to your name, for you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name. I will praise you, Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever. For great is your love toward me. You have delivered me from the depths, from the realm of the dead.
I want to talk about the object of prayer. For he goes on, he says, and petition for all the saints. He also, Apostle Paul asks prayer on his behalf, that he may have the utterance, may give be given to him to open his mouth, to make known the boldness of the mystery of the gospel for which he says he is in chains. Remember, he is in chains in prison with a Roman guard, and that's how he probably looked at all the Roman gear and said, we need to put on the armor of Christ. And now he's still chained with them, and he's saying, pray for me that I can still remain bold. So here he says that we need to pray for all the saints. That should be the object of our prayer. Today is a special day that, you know how they set aside Mother's Day, Father's Day. And Robin, this morning you said there's a day for everything. Well, today is another day, Sunday, June the 6th. And this day is set aside as the day of prayer for the persecuted church. There are so many places in the world where the church is being persecuted. I read an article in the Baptist press about a young man that was a Christian. He came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was in a Muslim country, and he was starting all these house churches. And the article talks about how he knew his time was short if he continues to live out his faith. And he had a dream. And he had this dream, and he asked the missionary what this dream meant. And this dream, in his dream, he was, you know, sharing his faith, and someone came in and took him and killed him. And so he just said, does that mean I'm going to die? Sharing your faith in a Muslim country, he's probably going to die. And he asked the missionary, will you promise to take care of my wife? Will you promise to see that she's okay? He had to continue with his faith in doing what God called him to do. He knew it was going to end his life, and he just wanted an assurance that someone would take care of his wife. There are so many being persecuted around the world. But we are called to lift them up in prayer. As we do every Sunday, we lift missionaries up. 1 Samuel 12:23, it says, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray. We're called to be a praying people. Paul doesn't ask for prayers for personal well-being. He doesn't ask, help me to be relieved from this being chained to this soldier. He didn't know what the outcome of his life would be. He prayed that he would have the boldness to speak the mystery of Christ, the mystery of the gospel, where God sent his Son to die for our sins. Man, I want to have a faith like that, don't you? The only way we can do that is when we spend time in continuous communing with God in prayer. The majority of my prayer, this is just my testimony, is just communing with God. I'm not bowing my head and getting on my knees. But it's true prayer and conversation. This past week, I would say a friend, you'd probably say an acquaintance, a guy that I've come to know a little bit, don't know a lot about him, but really broke my heart. I was talking to him, and I found out that because I know his mother, met his mother, and we were talking, and found out she was a pastor's wife. And didn't know that, and so I knew her husband passed away, so I said, oh, I didn't know you were a pastor's wife. Oh, yeah. And, of course, then she's very involved in her church and her ministry. But I know her son. So her son grew up as a PK. Pastor's kid. Debbie knows what that's like. She's a PK. But I'm talking to him, and really nice guy, super nice guy. I mean, he can come in, fit into any group, just really polite, nice, encouraging. I kind of suspected it, but something came up, and I said, "Where do you go to church?" And he never looked at me. He just goes, "I don't go to church." And my heart hurt. I didn't ask him why. It just wasn't the right timing. I didn't want to push him away. But I know that he somehow got hurt in church. It's pretty obvious. It just hurt my heart. I want to know what happened, but I can't. I'm hoping that those doors open. But immediately when he said that, I prayed. Dear God, be with him. Dear God, give me the right words. And God hasn't given me the right words yet, so I'm hoping I was wise enough to keep my mouth shut. I just want to be his friend. I just want to create a better relationship with him. And I just pray that somehow those doors will open. But it hurt me when he goes, "I don't go to church." Adamant. One of the lessons I learned it a long time ago, and I learned it pretty quickly. Look, we all get hurt. And sometimes we get hurt in church, don't we? Sometimes we go to a church, the place we should feel the safest, and we get hurt. I will give you this bit of advice. This is just me to you. How do you deal with those hurts? Don't blame God for what God's people do. God's people can be very encouraging and uplifting, and God's people, us, sometimes can be pretty tacky and cold, because again, we're focused on ourselves and not on who he is. So the only way you can get through it is to have a forgiving heart and don't blame God for what God's people do. That's how I get through it. That's how I try to get to it. That's a lesson I think the Lord taught me. And my friend, I'm afraid, didn't learn that lesson. I don't know. But immediately, I started praying for him. That's part of also that watching, being alert, looking around you. It's what is happening. I don't know if God is bringing me into his life to give me an opportunity to witness to him, and God's going to use me. Or maybe he just wants to bring someone into his life that isn't judging him. I don't know, but we need to be alert. We need to be faithful to the Lord. We need to constantly go to the Lord in prayer. But to do that, we need to stand on the boldness of God's Word. God's Word is full of promises. God's Word is full of passages that teach us how faithful a God he is. And God is faithful, and we can never deviate from that. So I want to ask Ron and Robin, they're going to come up and pray for God to grant us as a church boldness to proclaim his gospel, and that we stand faithfully on his word.
I'm going to read from Galatians 5:22 through 26. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, patience, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying of each other.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you, Father, who all praise, honor, and glory is due, Lord, through whom all blessings flow, Lord. Bless our church, Lord. Lord, let us proclaim your truth with boldness, Lord. Help us to stand on your truth, the truth of your word, Father. Help us to embed it in our hearts and our minds, Lord. Help us to reach this community for you, Lord. And help us, Lord, as we go out and we proclaim your truth, for Father, to disciple, Lord, to grow your church. Just, again, give you all praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' name.
Morning. Where are you in your walk with the Lord? Is your prayer life what it should be? Matthew 1:21, it tells us about our Lord who is going to be coming. The angel tells Mary, and we see that it says, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from his sins. In John 3:16 and 17, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but the world might be saved through him. Acts 2:21 says, and it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you called on the name of the Lord? Have you made him Lord of your life? Are you spending that time communion with God in constant prayer? It starts with making Jesus Lord. And so during this time of invitation, it's not an invitation from me, not from this church. It's an invitation from God to you. Will you make Jesus Lord of your life? During this time, the altars are open. If you want to come down front, we've already said you can pray where you are. You can pray with your eyes open or your head bowed, or you can come to the front if that's what God is leading you to do. Whatever God is leading you to do, I pray that you do it now as we stand and as we sing.
He is Lord. Come.
Father God, we do proclaim you as Lord. And dear God, I don't know what this week holds for us. I don't know what will come before us, but I know, dear God, you'll be there, and you'll be with us, and you'll strengthen us, and you want to walk with us through all those situations, both the good times and the difficult times. Dear God, I just pray that this week we stay in constant conversation with you. For you will guide us and you will teach us and you will strengthen us and you'll be with us. So, dear God, knowing that you are a God who is faithful, now we can go out into that world because we know that you are with us. So, dear God, may you go with us this week and may you be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.
Still.